It's a knick-knack, Patty Black. Give the frog alone. Maybe we should pray for the message. Lord, I ask that you would speak to us through this message today, which is a little bit out of the ordinary, too. And I ask that you would help us to be the people you want us to be, and also to be your agents in this world when it comes to that. In Jesus' name, amen. I came across an article in the Wall Street Journal a few years back that was titled, Toad Smoking Gains on Toad Licking Among Drug Users. It was interesting. It begins like this. It says, for the record, Mojo Nixon says neither he nor any member of his rock band named the Toad Lickers has ever licked a toad. Mr. Nixon says, people come up to us all the time and ask if we get high licking toads. And he calls the idea insane. Toad licking, though, is dangerous because toad venom contains dozens of chemical compounds, including enough poison to kill dogs that sometimes catch the warty little buggers and try to eat them. But the article goes on to say toad smoking is on the rise because the heat from smoking the venom appears to break down the toxins while retaining the psychedelics. Better living through chemistry, I guess. The people who believe in better living through chemistry found out you could get the same kind of hallucinogenic, easy for you to say, reaction from smoking toads as licking them without possibly poisoning yourself from the licking. Now, I'm not making this up. The drug culture has found the smoking venom from the Colorado River toad produced a sense of wonder and well-being. Arizona wildlife authorities raided the home of an unlicensed reptile dealer near Tucson, Arizona, and discovered a dozen of football-sized Colorado River toads sitting placidly in the man's living room. State law does allow possession of up to 10 toads if you have a fishing license. Colorado River toads have become the smoker's choice because it contains large amounts of a chemical compound, and I'd have to write it on the board if you wanted to see it, which is a powerful psychoactive drug, and the Colorado River toad is a virtual psychedelic factory whose venom produces a 20-minute high that is so intense it can be frightening to the uninitiated, and the effect from the venom has been described as a magical slap in the face. I'm not making this up. Toads made the news again in California when a drug agent busted a Robert Shepard, who was a 41-year-old Boy Scout troop leader, charged him with several drug offenses. The agents also found and impounded Mr. Shepard's four Colorado River toads named Brian, Peter, Hans, and Franz. Mr. Shepard's attorney said he had never heard of toad smoking before. He was quoted as saying, I've heard of a princess kissing a toad, as the attorney misremembered the story of the frog prince. He concluded by saying, I guess these days she'd be busted too. Which brings me to my next illustration, and this is an interactive day, so you're going to have to stand up, and we're going to sing a song by Chet Atkins that was done in 1976, which has always been rattling around in my brain. We're going to sing it together. Here we go.
I want to dedicate this next tune to all the pretty girls in the audience. Do you remember in the fairy tale how the wicked witch's spell changed the handsome prince to a toad? Through the power of her potion, she handed him the notion he was lower than the dirt in the road. And though she left him green and warded, her evil plan was thwarted when there chanced to happen by a young miss, who in spite of his complexion offered her affection and broke the wicked curse with her kiss. Well, if you've never been a frog kissing, then you don't know what you've been missing. There's a world of opportunity under each and every law. If you've never been a charm breaker,
And if you've never been a handsome prince maker, just to slow down, turn around, bend down and kiss you a frog. Once upon a time ago, I was down and feeling low, like a lonely frog in a pond. Life was just a joke, and I was very near a croak, and I was zapped by life's wicked wand. Then in the depths of my depression, there came a true expression of a love from a lady so sweet. She gave me warm, fuzzy feelings, feelings that were healing, and knocked me off my little web feet. If you've never been a frog kissing, then you don't know what you've been missing, yeah. There's a world of opportunity under each and every log. If you've never been a charm breaker, and if you've never been a handsome prince maker, just slow down, turn around, bend down and kiss you a frog. There's a happy ever after land deep in the heart of man, where a prince or princess abides. But all we get are glimpses of the handsome prince or princess, cause they're covered by a green warty hide. And though they're full of life's potential, they're lacking one essential to enable them to shine like a star. And that's to have some guy or missus smother them with kisses and love them while they're just like they are. And that's the secret of frog kissing, and you can do it too if you'll just listen. Just slow down, turn around, bend down and kiss you a frog.
Now, a variation on this theme of frog kissing is told by the Reverend Malcolm McQueen, also from Colorado, probably after he'd seen one of those Colorado river toads. One time, two women were walking down the street. They spotted a frog, and the frog croaked, "Help me, please." I wish I could do it like that guy that sang the deep up here. Two women were, of course, astounded by this talking frog, and so they leaned closer, and one of them says, "Please repeat what you said." "Help me, please. I used to be a Presbyterian preacher. If you kiss me, I'll once again become who I really should be." One of the women reached down, picked up the frog. She turned around to see if anybody was watching, quickly stuffed the frog into her purse and walked off. And the other woman hurried after her and asked, "Why'd you put the frog in your purse? Aren't you going to kiss it?" "Heavens no," replied the first woman. "A talking frog is much more valuable than a Presbyterian preacher." Now, I don't know, have you ever felt like a frog? They're slow and low and ugly and puffy and drooped and pooped and warted and thwarted. In fact, I got some help from the 1996 world famous Super Bowl to show you what the frogs are like. Better than this year, all I can tell you that. This is my friend Froggy up here. You get to see him live in action in a couple minutes. Frog feeling comes when you want to be bright, but you're dull. You want to share, but you're selfish. You want to be thankful, but you resent people. The frog feeling comes when you want to be big, but you're really feeling small. You want to care, but you're indifferent. And you know as well as I do that every one of us at one time or another, and maybe some of us here today, and you came into this place, hopped in, each of us find ourselves hunched down on our lily pads of life, floating down that river of life, making frog sounds like those three just did. Bud. Rivet. And there we sit, frightened, disgusted, and disgusting, and we're too froggish to buds. Once upon a time, there was a frog, or actually a prince. But he wasn't, because he wasn't really a frog. And he was a handsome prince who looked and felt like a frog. And Disney helped us out with this one.
The Froggy Brutto.
The frog prince?
Yes, yes. Ah, my mother had these servants. Ah, read this to me every night. Yes, yes, yes. This is exactly the answer. You must kiss me.
Excuse me.
You will enjoy, I guarantee. All women enjoy the kiss of Prince Naveen. Come, we pack her. That's new.
Look, I'm sorry. I'd really like to help you, but I just do not kiss frogs.
Wait a second, but on the balcony, you asked me.
I didn't expect y'all to answer.
Oh, but you must kiss me.
One kiss.
Just one. Unless you beg for more.
Okay, Tiana, you can do this. You can do this. Just look at it.
Falli Faldonza.
Y'all don't look that much different. But how'd you get way up there? And how'd I get way down here and all this?
Once upon a time there was a frog, but he wasn't really a frog. He was a handsome prince who looked and felt like a frog. A wicked witch had cast a spell on him, and only the kiss of a young, beautiful maiden could save him. But since when do cute chicks kiss frogs? So there he sat in all his froggishness and unkissed and prince that he was in frog form. But miracles happen. One day a beautiful maiden grabbed him up and gave him a smack, especially since he was prince and not a Presbyterian preacher. And zap, there he was, a handsome prince. And you know the rest of the story. They lived happily ever after. So what is the task of the church? And the church is not the building. The church is you people and me. What's the task of God's people? People like you and me. Why? To kiss frogs, of course. And I have my friend here. And he's going to light the way. Some of you may remember this next one.
Flunk your magic twanger, Froggy!
Hiya, kids, hiya, hiya.
Remember the bees.
Today, I wish to lecture on the raising of honey bees, just as I raise them on my country estate.
At the North Pole.
Yes, children, I have a lovely estate at the North Pole, and the bees just love the cold weather. Oh, no, no!
Yeah, well, it hasn't been the North Pole, but it's been close. God touches ugly sinners like you and me with a touch of Jesus' love. And then begins the greatest transformation of all. We become new people in Jesus. We become the children of God and joint heirs to the kingdom of God. And if we are heirs, then that means that we are princes and princesses, because aren't the children of Father God brothers and sisters of the King of Kings? And miracle of miracles, when the life of Jesus touches us, we are transformed and we are able to help in the transformation of other people as well. What happened to the frog in the fairy tale was that he experienced a great reversal, a metamorphosis, a great transformation from something that was ugly into something that is beautiful. And that's what Jesus does for people like you and me. Jesus takes us where we are, on our little lily pads on the river of life, and he changes us into, well, what we are as God's people. And there is an alteration of structure and constitution, and I've even seen a change in appearance. The metaphor of the caterpillar and the butterfly is also helpful in understanding the transforming power of God. You'll notice on the front of your bulletin, there's a frog, and he's watching you. But if you notice that there's a caterpillar and there's a butterfly also in that picture, that butterfly starts out as that worm-like creature on that little piece of grass with several pairs of legs and short antennae. And one day this caterpillar begins to surround itself and begins to move into its chrysalis stage and eventually becomes that beautiful butterfly. And the early church saw the caterpillar changing into a butterfly as a beautiful image, a great symbol of Christ's resurrection. The butterfly is the symbol of life over death, or the transforming power of God that makes itself known to us in the life of Jesus. After the crucifixion, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene found the stone rolled away from the tomb of Jesus. And she thought that someone had stolen the body of Jesus, and she was filled with grief as she stood there. It was probably the lowest moment in her life, and she may have thought to herself, they don't even allow Jesus the dignity of a peaceful rest in a grave. And then she heard the stir behind her, and she looked at the man that she thought was the gardener, and he said, "Mary, Mary." And at once she recognized Jesus. And she cried, "Master," and Mary got kissed and became a princess because the Lord came back to life. She was freed from the warts and the ugliness of her grief, or her despair, her loneliness. And Jesus went about kissing frogs during his years here on earth, and he's still doing it even today. But when Mary saw Jesus die, she found herself slipping back into her previous life and her old ways of thinking and feelings. And there's some tradition that says she was a prostitute. But Jesus came back to life and kissed her again. And we need that kind of love over and over again. We also need to give it to other people. We need to slow down, turn around, bend down, and kiss a frog who just might be a prince or princess of God. I have a couple scriptures in here. I want us to read the first one on Thomas in chapter 20 of John. Here we go. "Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, 'We have seen the Lord.' But he said to them, 'Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and place my finger in the marks of the nails, and place my hand in his side, I will not believe.' 8 days later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. The doors were shut, but Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.' Then he said to Thomas, 'Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not be faithless, but believing.' And Thomas answered him, 'My Lord and my God.'" Thomas the doubter. I take it that Thomas was always a bit of a skeptic. But you know what? So have I been a bit of a skeptic over the years. When Christ Jesus calls us, he doesn't just change our personality so much as he changes our direction in life. We still have our former characteristics. Thomas had warts just like Mary had more warts. One of his warts was doubt, but he was a skeptic. And while he walked with Jesus in ministry, the doubts of Thomas must have come forth on occasion. And when Jesus died, Thomas' doubts were confirmed, and he felt like he had been taken in by letting faith get a foothold in his life. No wonder he wouldn't take another man's word for a thing like a resurrection. He had believed with no little difficulty, and now he was asked to swallow a resurrection. He would have to see and feel that Jesus was alive. You just can't take just another man's word for things like that. And he said that when the other disciples who had seen Jesus alive already. And Jesus loved Thomas, warts and all. Thomas his wounds, and he said, "Don't just look, Thomas. Put your hand on my wounds. Be not faithless, but believing." And then the skeptic confessed, "My Lord and my God." He was transformed into a prince of God. He was kissed by the Spirit of God in Jesus. I have a second scripture from the 21st chapter of John. It's about Peter. And Jesus is meeting with him after the resurrection. Let's read it together. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Son, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." The second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." You know, Peter is sometimes called the Prince of the Apostles. It may be that he is called the Prince of the Apostles because he was such a frog at times. We know that he was the leader of this group of disciples that turned the world upside down, but it may be that he was called Prince because of his transformation and change in life. Peter was like a low and slow and drooped and pooped frog. He had many warts as a human being. He frequently overstated his opinions. He was presumptuous and egocentered. He rejected Jesus in the courtyard of the high priest, not once, but three times. The pain of his warty hide drove the big fisherman to despair. And I can see him sitting around the fire on the beach with a bunch of other, well, could be Colorado River toads, but it could be Galilean River toads. Just kind of like that Bud commercial. When the risen Jesus comes and meets them right there on the beach. And they ate together, and then Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me, Peter?" He asked it not once, but three times. And Peter replied, "Lord, you know that I do. Lord, you know everything. Lord, why are you asking me these things?" And Jesus asked three times because he wanted to remove the warts of three denials. And there may be somebody here, if you denied Jesus, not betrayed him, just denied him in your life. He told the big fisherman to get going. He said, "Feed my sheep." You're a prince with a calling. And you can see it, can't you? God changes frogs into princes and princesses. Jesus put people right with God. Jesus put order back into people's lives. He fixes us, he touches us, he changes us. Jesus puts us together with one another and then gets us going. Jesus said to Peter, "Peter, if you love me, then tend my sheep." He says to us, "Kiss people with a holy kiss and change them from their frogginess into the royalty which they really are." And God still does it today. He touches people who are disfigured by the warts of life. You know, one wart is selfishness. I found part of a speech of a teenage girl on the topic of selfishness. This is what she wrote. She said, "I remember it was about something that happened to me when I was a little kid. I had a whole lot of gum, and some of my friends were asking me if they could have some. And just to be selfish, I put it all the gum in my mouth. I had so much gum in my mouth that I choked and I had to spit it out. I was mad when my friends wouldn't give me any of their ice cream. But then I remembered how I wouldn't let them have any of my gum." Many people are disfigured by the warts of selfishness. The answer is the same. You need to be kissed by the love of Jesus. People have all kinds of warts that make them look and act like frogs. We lose our royalty because we get so hung up in the things of this world, we become commoners because of the world thinking that we get involved in. We regain our royalty when we come into the presence of God. We get kissed by the Holy Spirit, by the Spirit of Jesus. For some of us, the warts are problems and separations within our families. For some of us, it may be our own harsh tongue. For some, it is bitterness. For some, it is the death of loved ones. For some, it could be marriage problems or work problems or lack of work problems or habits that we want to get rid of, but they really make us kind of froggy. Job situations, health issues. Sometimes it's the weather that makes us froggy. Warts in the families of God's people, whole families, husbands and wives covered with warts, frogs and toads. Sometimes the toad in us produces the same kind of toxic poison that kills people that the Colorado River toad does or makes them sick. But you know, Jesus kisses families, individuals, couples, situations and circumstances with the Spirit of God. He turns people into princes and princesses. Think of the cross. If you really comprehend the Lord Jesus Christ in the throes of crucifixion for you, you get some fear and trembling in your heart. But you also got to think about the resurrection. God worked the great reversal in Jesus. Easter followed Friday, and it still does. This business of kissing frogs is Jesus' business. But when it happens to us and we are kissed and we become princes and princesses, then it becomes our business as well. When it happens to you, it will also happen through you. We get to be the agents. In fact, it has happened to me numerous times, but it happened to me at one great banquet. I came to church to enjoy a sense of holy accomplishment, give thanks to God for all his favor, and there she was, just sitting at the banquet table in the sanctuary, doing nothing, staring directly ahead with pop-eyed impertinence. She was a real toad or frog. She was ugly altogether. Hairless, earless, noseless, pigeon-toed, foul warts everywhere, hard and knobby warts. She closed her eyes and she jammed her eyeballs down into her skull that pressed on her brains. Can you see it happening? Which squeezed her gullet, and that's how she swallowed. It was a revolting bodily function which anyone of more discretion would have done in private. But she performed it right in front of my eyes, and then the eyes rolled up again and were staring at me. Well, my pleasant contentment was destroyed. I had come to spend 3 days with Jesus at a great banquet. Here I was in the presence of this foul creature. Anybody ever shown up to one of these weekends and you were foul on the inside? Well, nevertheless, I did the Christian thing. I said, "Have a good day, miss," and tried to walk away. But here comes the ghastly part. She smiled at me. Have you ever seen a toad or frog smile? It's not quite right. And she spoke to me right there in the middle of the great banquet. She said, "Kiss me and you shall have your reward." Now, it's not every day that you have a frog speak to you in the first place. In fact, it's probably as rare as angels or miracles. Well, I decided it would certainly be a Christian act to kiss her, as ugly as she was. I don't do it much on men's weekend. I'd studied the writings as being a preacher and all, and I'd heard finding coins in fishes' mouths and genies in bottles, and I'd read of frogs turning into princes, and I heard the song back in 1976. I deserved a reward after all. After all, I'd been serving the Lord Jesus for a long time, and after all I'd done the Christian thing, I'd said, "Have a good day, miss." So I kissed her right there at the banquet. It was the Christian thing to do. She was covered with warts. I stood back and she began to change right there during those days. She turned into a beautiful maiden. And she walked off. Hey, I said, where's my reward? She turned and smiled and she said, you have it, Christian. You have it. I said, I have nothing. And she smiled and said, precisely, Christian. Didn't Jesus love an ugly world for nothing in return? And didn't your Jesus command you to love as he loved? And isn't your highest desire to be like your Lord? Then I have changed you to be like him, loving for nothing in return. The kiss is the reward. Well, I thought to myself, she may be beautiful, but she still talks like an arrogant, haughty, articulate frog. And I thought to myself, well, Christian, what do you expect? The kiss is the reward, isn't it? We love for Christ's sake. We kiss frogs for Christ's sake. Not to see people change. We love people so that they will gain their own royalty back. We are frog kissers, and it is a big task, this business of kissing frogs in this world. And sometimes it is pretty thankless and without reward. I have seen frogs and toads being kissed by Jesus in the great banquet for years. I've seen many of you in your amphibian form before the kiss that Jesus gives. I have seen warts of hopelessness and blindness and despair and confusion and brokenness, and they disappear with the kiss of Jesus. So take some time this week, slow down, turn around, bend down, and kiss you a frog for Jesus' sake. Let's pray. Lord, in the midst of life, sometimes our frog nature comes out more than our royal nature. Help us to be your people and your agents, to kiss this world which has a lot of ugly warts, and help turn people into royalty again, in Jesus' name. Amen.